Hello, we're reading the introduction to the book Panim Meirot and Umasbirot from Baal HaSulam. We're in item 17.
Yes, please.
Baal HaSulam writes, now we can understand the serpent's cunningness, which our sages added and notified us that the sum clothed in it, meaning, because its words were very high, I started with, although God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden, meaning it began to speak with her since the woman was not commanded by the Creator. Hence, it asked her about the modes of scrutiny, meaning, how do you know that the tree of knowledge was prohibited? Perhaps all the fruits of the garden were forbidden for you, too. And the woman said, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. There are two great precisions here. One, the touching was never forbidden. Hence, why did she add the prohibition? Two, did she doubt the words of the Creator? The Creator said, you will surely die. And the woman said, lest you die. Could it be that she did not believe the words of the Creator even prior to the sin? Yet the woman answered it according to the serpent's question. She knew that the Creator had prohibited all the trees of the garden are sweet and nice and good to eat. However, she was already close to touching that tree inside the garden and tasted in it a taste that is as hard as death. She herself had proven that by her own observation, there is a fear of death, even from mere touching. For this reason, she understood the prohibition further than what she has heard from her husband, as there is none so wise as the experience. Let you die concerns the touching. The answer must have been quite sufficient, for who would interfere and deny another's taste? However, the serpent contradicted her and said, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. Maybe we should start from the beginning, because now he starts answering already.
Go ahead. Let's see. Repeating is never a problem. It's always allowed.
Again, 17. Now we can understand the serpent's cunningness, which our sages added and notified us that some clothed in it, meaning because its words were very high.
This means the serpent is entirely the will to receive in order to receive. That's the force of nature.
It started with, although God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden, meaning it began to speak with her, since the woman was not commanded by the Creator. Hence, it asked her about the modes of scrutiny, meaning, how do you know that the tree of knowledge was prohibited? Perhaps all the fruits of the garden were prohibited for you, too. And the woman said, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. There are two great precisions here. One, the touching was never prohibited. was never forbidden. Hence, why did she add that prohibition? 2, did she doubt the words of the Creator? The Creator said, you will surely die. And the woman said, lest you die. Could it be that she did not believe the words of the Creator even prior to the sin? Yet the woman answered according to the serpent's question. She knew what the Creator had prohibited, that all the trees of the garden are sweet and nice and good to eat. However, she was already close to touching that tree inside the garden and tasted in it a taste that is as hard as death. She herself had proven that by her own observation, there is fear of death, even from mere touching. For this reason, she understood the prohibition further than what she heard from her husband. There is no wise as the experienced. Lest you die concerns the touching. The answer must have been quite sufficient. For who would interfere or deny another's taste? However, the serpent contradicted her and said, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened.
Yes, Oren, what are you expecting of me?
I can keep reading. It's so very long, the text.
No, it's not very long. Soon we're going to reach item 18. And there he tries to explain a little bit. In the meantime, let's get to know the text. So there's a problem between the man and the woman, meaning Adam and Eve. We don't know. These forces are in us, and we can't distinguish inside each and every person, especially that we have men and women, as if there's a difference between them. So in the meantime, let's get to know the text. I don't have anything to explain here. From Adam, we didn't hear anything. And from the woman, we heard only what she claims. Next.
We must make the precision concerning the matter of opening of the eyes to this place. Indeed, it informed her of a new and sublime matter. It proved to them that it is folly to think that the Creator created something harmful and detrimental in His world. Thus, with respect to the Creator, it is certainly not a bad or harmful thing. Instead, that bitterness that you will taste in it, even when close to touching, it is only on your part. Since this eating is to notify you of the height of your merit. Thus, it is additional kedusha that you need during the act. So your sole aim will be to bring contentment to Him, to keep the aim for which you were created. For this reason, it seems to you is bad and harmful, so you will understand the additional kedusha, holiness required from you.
Meaning to really reach a recognition of what the Creator is giving you, is doing to you, you have to acquire all the opposite discernments. And then you can choose everything from its opposite. And you can understand creation from what is against it. Otherwise, you have no grip in creation because you can only feel one thing. when the created being only feels out of the opposite. That's why the serpent here is a force that, first of all, it has to be there in man's creation. Yes?
For in the day you eat thereof, meaning if the act is in Kedusha and holiness and purity, as clear as day, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil.
Good and evil, that's the main thing. Yes. How can you create someone that knows both good and evil if it's not the creator? Only under the condition that he'll go through one state, know something of it, start getting to know the opposite state in contrast, and then with good and evil, he will climb the ladder with both feet. Yes?
This means that as it is certainly sweet to the Creator and completely equal, so the good and the bad will be to you in complete equivalence, sweet and gentle.
When you can't get to know or taste Eden without its opposite, and you will reach the state there, both the good and evil will become good to you. Yes.
It is still possible to doubt about the credibility of the serpent, since the Creator did not tell it this himself. Therefore, the serpent first said, "For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened." This means that it is not necessary for the Creator to notify you of that, since he knows that if you pay attention to this, you eat on the side of Kedusha. Your eyes shall be opened by themselves to understand the measure of greatness in it, for you feel wondrous sweetness and gentleness in it.
Everything depends on the intention. If the intention is in order to bestow, will become be sweet and wonderful, will be the fruit of the tree of Garden of Eden. But if your intention is not correct, it will be like the tree of death. Yes.
Hence, he does not need to let you know. As for this, he instilled in you the scrutinizing force that you may know what is your benefit by yourselves. It is written right after that, and the woman saw that the tree was good to eat, and it was the delight to the eyes. This means that she did not rely on his words, but went and examined with her own mind and understood and understanding and sanctified herself with additional kedusha to bring contentment to the Creator in order to complete the aim desired of her, and not at all for herself. At that time, her eyes were opened, as the serpent had said, and the woman saw that the tree was good to eat. In other words, by seeing that it was a delight to the eyes, therefore she even touched it, she felt great sweetness and lust when her eyes saw by themselves that she had not seen such a desirable thing in all the trees of the garden. She also learned that the tree is good for knowledge, meaning that there is far more to crave and covet in this tree than all the trees in the garden. This refers to knowing that they were created for this act of eating, and that this is the whole purpose, as the serpent had revealed to her. After all these absolute scrutinies, she took of its fruit and ate, and gave also to her man with her, and he ate. The text accurately writes with her, meaning with her pure intention only to bestow and not for her own sake. This is the meaning of the words, and gave to her man with her, with her.
Yes, there are a few things here that it's still difficult for us to discuss. Now, what exactly confused the woman? What was she missing? That on the one hand, she was smarter than the man. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, through her, the will to receive in order to receive entered and controlled man. And then comes a special correction through Adam, through the man, and to the woman also. There are a few things here we need to understand. The truth is, he keeps on going. I would keep on reading.
18. Now we can come to the heart of the matter and the mistake that concerned his leg. This tree of knowledge, good and evil, was mixed with the vacant space, meaning with the gedlut, from the reception upon which the restriction was implemented, and from which the upper light departed. It has also been explained that Adam HaRishon, the first Adam, did not have any gedlut, greatness, form of reception in his structure, which extends from the vacant plate space. Instead, he extended solely from the system of holiness, concerned only with bestowal, as written in the Zohar, that the Adam Rishon had nothing of this world. For this reason, the tree of knowledge was forbidden to him as his root, and the whole system of holiness are separated from the Sitra Achra, the other side, due to their disparity of form, which is separation. Thus he too was commanded and warned about connecting to it, as thus he would be separated from his holy root and die, like the Sitra Acha and the Klipot, which are dead to their oppositeness and separation from the Kedusha and the life of lives. However, Satan, which is Sam, the angel of death, that clothed in the serpent, came down and incited Eve with the lie in its mouth, "You shall not surely die." It is known that any lie does not stand if it is not preceded by words of truth. Hence, it started with a true word and revealed to her the purpose of creation that came only to correct this tree, meaning to invert the great vessels of reception to the side of bestowal. This is the meaning of what our sages said to her, that it is said to her that God had eaten from this tree and created the world, meaning looked at the matter in the form of the end of an act is the preliminary thought. And for this reason, he has created the world. As we have seen above, the whole matter of the first tzimtzum, the first restriction, was only for man, who is destined to equalize of the form of reception to bestow. And this was the truth. For this reason, it succeeded, and the woman believed it when she prepared herself to receive and enjoy solely in order to bestow. You find that at any rate, evil vanished from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and the tree of knowledge, good, remained. This is because the evil there is only the disparity of form of reception from oneself, which was imprinted in him, but with reception in order to bestow. Thus, he brought to his complete perfection, and you find that she made the great unification as it should be at the end of an act. However, that sublime holiness was still untimely. She was only fit to endure it in the first eating, but not in the second eating. I will explain to you that one who avoids a passion before one has tasted and grown accustomed is not like one who avoids a passion after passion having tasted and becomes connected to it. The first can certainly avoid once and for all, but the other must exert to retire from one's craving bit by bit until he completes the matter. So it is here. Since the woman had not yet tested from the tree of knowledge and was completely in bestow, it was easy for her to perform the first eating in order to bestow contentment upon the Maker in absolute kedusha, holiness. But after she tasted it, a great desire and coveting for the tree of knowledge was made in her until she could not retire from her craving, since matters had gone out of her control. This is why our sages said that she ate prematurely, meaning before it was ripe, before they acquired strength and power to rule over their desire. This is similar to what our sages said in Masechet Yevamot, according to Abba Shaul, who said that one who marries his dead brother's wife for beauty and for lust is as one who blemishes the pubes. They said the first intercourse is forbidden because of the second intercourse. This is the meaning of what our sages said, I have eaten and I shall eat more. This means that even when he had expectedly heard that the Creator was in war with him, he still could not retire from it, since the lust had already been connected to him. You find that the first eating was on the side of holiness, and the second eating was in great filth. Now we can understand the severity of the punishment of the tree of knowledge for which all people are put to death. This death extends from eating it, as the Creator had warned him, in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. The thing is that the gadlut, the greatness of reception, extends into his limbs from the vacant space, and for the restriction onward, it is no longer possible for it to be under the same roof with the upper light. Hence, that eternal breath of life expressed in the vessel and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, had to leave there and depend on a slice of bread for its transient sustenance. This life is not eternal life as before, when it was for himself. Rather, it is similar to sweat of life, and life that has been divided into tiny drops, where each drop is a fragment of his previous life. This is the meaning of the sparks of the souls that were spread throughout his progeny. Thus, in all his progeny, all the people in the world, in all the generations, throughout the last generation, which concludes the purpose of creation, are a long chain. It follows that the acts of the Creator did not change at all by the sin of the tree of knowledge. Rather, it is the light of life that came at once in Adam HaRishon, extended and stretched into a long chain, revolving on the tree of transformation of the forms until the end of correction. There is no cessation for a moment, since the actions of the Creator must be alive and enduring, and sanctity is raised, not lowered. As is in the case of man, so is the case with all the creatures in the world, because they are descended from an eternal and general form on the wheel of transformation of form, as did man. Both man and the world have an inner value and an outer value. The external always ascends and descends according to the internal. And this is the meaning of, in the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread. Instead of the previous breath of life that the Creator had breathed into his nostrils, there is now sweat of life in his nostrils.
Thank you, Oren. These excerpts are really not simple, and it keeps on going until we finish all this introduction. But we'll go over this a little bit, and we'll see that there's a story, a true story here, as much as we can understand it. In the meantime, clearly this is about two forces of nature, the will to receive, which is the created being, and the will to bestow, which is the Creator, and how the Creator already from prior to creation, before creating humans, he prepares inside us, in our nature, also forces of bestowal, so that we will start feeling what the force of reception in the force of bestowal is and will distinguish and examine what's between them. This is how we advance in developing the force of the soul between us. It's, meaning it's not a matter of needing to start from Ein Sof or from scratch to start implementing or realizing a force of bestowal in us. It's there. All we need to do is a choice. And also the choice comes in a gradual manner. The more the will to receive is increased in us to have the ability upon the height of the will to receive to prefer to be in the will to bestow. Where from? On what account? How can the will to bestow is better than the will to receive? Because it's in the Creator, it's the opposite. If it's in the Creator, I'm supposed to grow further away from it. Because then it turns out that I'm going in order to receive, because it's in the Creator. So there are many things here that we still need to understand this system. Bit by bit, it's being revealed gradually. And then without making it too simple, not to say it's simple, this and that. On the contrary, to open it more and more, like you open some system with many connections that are short-circuited there, and we bit by bit, we need to see what every force, every quality belongs to, and that's what we'll do.
Well,
I can let you ask, even though I won't give much, but Kiev.
It's interesting how he describes the mutual influences in the will to receive.
We can't summarize things now from what we read. We're going to need to read more and more and more until this story will be more or less clear to us what's written, not what's inside, only the words that are written. After that, we can start scrutinizing how much it belongs to us from before creation, during creation, after creation, until this day, and what we should do for each and everyone and all of us together. It's a system that you can't learn it in parts. Bit by bit, we'll open it. Well, let's see, Volga, what do they want?
Доброго времени суток. У меня вопрос связан с предыдущим пунктом. Там.
Good day. I have a question about the previous item.
Вопрос, Раф, что такое?
That force of scrutiny. What is it? The force of scrutiny in a man. And how is the force of scrutiny? How does it help us?
I don't know what you're talking about. What is that?
He's asking out about the force of scrutiny.
According to this introduction?
Yeah, he mentioned it here. How does it help a person advance?
That's the main thing. And you should be like God, knowing good and evil, knowing what good is, what evil is, and knowing how they come from one source and how they act in us. That's why distinguishing between good and evil and truth and false and all these things, we don't ruin anything. All we do is place them correctly, one in front of the other, and by that, we aim ourselves to the Creator. In order to be aimed at the Creator, we need the evil inclination. And we need to care about that no less than we care about the good inclination. Because if we suddenly don't feel the evil inclination, we don't have where to turn to. We have nothing to do. We can't exist. That's why this is considered to be saying twice that it is good. The day that death is created is actually a good force. When we stand on it, we don't lose it. We're aimed at the Creator, and we can start to get knowing, to know the Creator in the right way. We'll talk about it. This question is correct. Yes? Well, New York 4.
At first, everything was determined by bitter and sweet. And then something happened that the creature was able to choose bitter. So what exactly was that? That's there.
Well, that's something we have to learn. That the will to receive seems to us either as bitter or sweet. The will to bestow also seems to us either as bitter or sweet. We scrutinize that by our sense or by truth or false. There are many things here we should establish in the right way. In the meantime, that's it for today. Okay. Let's move on to the study of the Ten Sefirot.
Let's go.